Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
So he had already, they'd already been born again. He had already said, receive the Holy Spirit and breathed upon them. And here he is about a month later, right before he leaves the earth, saying, now wait until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is going to be the fulfillment of what John said about the one who comes after me baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then he said in verse 6, it says, when they were therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? There was a common belief in those days that when the Messiah came, the Old Testament scriptures like Isaiah chapter 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And in verse 2 or 3, it goes on to say, right after it proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. In the Old Testament, it was all run together. The first and the second coming were not distinguished between that. And so people had interpreted that when the Messiah came, he was going to do all the things that Jesus did. Plus, he was going to bring the vengeance of the Lord. He was going to establish the kingdom on earth. He was going to put down the Roman rule. And they were expecting Jesus to establish his kingdom. And they didn't have the understanding that we now have, that his first advent came and brought salvation. And then there's this church age, and there's a future fulfillment when Jesus will come back and fulfill all the rest of those prophecies about what he would do. And so this is what they're referring to. And he was about to leave. And so they're saying, well, is it now? Are you going to establish the kingdom now? And he said in verse 7, he says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own hand, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and unto Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Lord is saying, you know what? That is not under your authority, your power. You don't know when the second coming is, and anybody who tries to tell you that they know is wrong. Jesus even said he didn't know. That was something that was retained by the Father only. But here are some things that are under your power. You are going to receive power, authority, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And he said you are going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Not before, but after. Now, put all of this together. They had already confessed him as Lord. They were born again. He had already said, receive the Holy Spirit and breathed upon them. And there's a lot of debate about this. I'm not actually sure technically how all of this works. Wendell teaches that you get the Holy Spirit when you're born again. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a second experience. I'm not sure. I might tend to say that the Holy Spirit is with you when you're born again. You can't be born again without the Holy Spirit, and he's with you. But Jesus said this in John chapter 14, that the Holy Spirit has been with you, and he shall be in you. Technically, I don't know which way it is, and it really doesn't matter because we aren't denying the involvement of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. So technically, whether he's just with you or if he's already in you, I don't know, and it really doesn't matter. The point is that there is still another experience where you receive power from the Holy Spirit. And it's very clear. They were born again. He had already said, receive the Holy Spirit. And yet, right before he left, now don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you receive power from on high. And then you shall be my witnesses. And brothers and sisters, let me just make a statement here. It's a strong statement. It's going to rub some people the wrong way, but it's true. This is the exact reason that the church isn't having the influence in the world that God intended for us to, is because we get people who are born again, their sins are forgiven, but they're powerless. They have no power to be a witness. They don't have any power. Because they haven't received the Holy Spirit. You receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And as a whole, the vast majority of the body of Christ does not embrace and teach a separate experience where you receive power from on high. And because of it, they don't have any power. They're saved and stuck. You know, I can tell you my own personal experience was I got born again when I was 8 years old. The first time that God really nailed me over sin. Not the first time I'd sinned, but the first time the Holy Spirit really convicted me and I knew I had sinned. I repented within a couple of days. I got born again. And my life was changed. And in the third grade, I was made fun of the next day for being a Christian. My friends could tell that something was wrong. And they said, "What's happened to you?" And I said, "I got saved." And they made fun of me in the third grade for being a Christian. I mean, there was a change in my life. I was saved. But I became saved and stuck. I had no power. My dad died when I was 12 years old. I prayed for him to be healed for 6 months. He wasn't healed. He died. My grandmother, who raised me, died when I was 8 years old. And I prayed for her to be healed, and she wasn't healed. And I prayed for a lot of people to be healed. I prayed for all kinds of things. And I never saw any power of God. I believed if God was God, He could do anything. But I'd wish and hope and pray. And nothing would ever come of it. And then I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I mean instantly, my life changed. I started having power. I started witnessing to everything that moved and didn't move. I mean, my life was transformed. It is my personal testimony that I was saved for 10 years. And if I would have been arrested for being a Christian, there wouldn't have been enough evidence to convict me. Matter of fact, my best friend back in my grade school days and junior high days, he saw me on television and about 4 years ago came out and was so thrilled to meet me. And we got to visiting and he had been born again and I met his wife and I heard his testimony and the guy had been through terrible things and been in a mental institution or a detox center or something like this because he was an alcoholic and God had just saved his life and he was gloriously saved and he was so thrilled and he gave me his testimony and he says, "So when did you get saved?" I said, "When I was 8. He says, "8? You mean you were saved and you didn't tell me about it?" And you know what? My friends, even my best friends, didn't know I was saved. There wasn't any power in my life. But boy, when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit at 18, it lit a fire under me that still burns. It has never gone out. It absolutely changed my life. And I have seen so many people like this. Jamie's sister and brother-in-law, of course, we've been married for 37 years in October. And I knew David and Glenna before I married Jamie. So I've known them probably for 40 years. I heard David's first sermon he ever preached. It was pitiful. I remember as a kid listening to that. And so we've been friends with them and have known them, and we've always gotten along fairly good. And I mean, it's been a good relationship, but they were Baptist, and they were not going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they had everything when they got born again, and they didn't need anything else. And you know what? It has not been a close fellowship because it wasn't close. We've always loved them, but it wasn't close. Did you know last November, they came to my meeting in Dallas, Fort Worth. Both of them received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And it's a brand new relationship. We were talking to them yesterday on the phone and told them we loved them. And say, "Oh, we love you." And man, they both gotten kicked out of their Baptist church, had to leave. And you know what? I tell you what, when people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it changes you. It makes a difference. That's my personal testimony. That's my testimony of people that I know. And if you were to go back and look at any person who God has mightily used, they've had a dramatic second encounter with the Lord beyond just the forgiveness of their sins to where they were empowered with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, this is why so many Christians, they're saved and stuck. If they were to die, they would go to heaven, but they aren't making any visible manifestation of God in their life. They aren't impacting other people. Nobody wants what they've got. They go knock on the door and they look like they've been sick, sucking persimmons or prunes. They say, "Don't you want to be like me?" And they say, "No." Slam the door. But you know, in the Bible, people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they had to cut holes in the roof and let the sick down. And man, they changed the world. And people said, are these men that have turned the world upside down come here also? I tell you what, people made a difference because they had power in their life. Because they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit was taught that there is a second experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, and it changes people. It makes a difference in their life. And that's the way that it was in Scripture, and that's what the Word is teaching. Let's turn over to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, we find an instance where Philip had gone down and administered to the city of Samaria. And, you know, Philip is one of the deacons in the 6th chapter that was chosen to serve the church. And it's one of the requirements of the deacons in Acts chapter 6, I believe it's verse 3, says that they must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now see, today that's a terminology that some people think, oh, I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I'm born again. No, you didn't. And even people who've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was at one of Catherine Kuhlman's meetings one time, and she got up and there was 4,000 people in there, and all of these people were giving their testimonies about, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 20 years ago and I've spoken tongues and I've done this. And Catherine Kuhlman got up and she looked at all of these preachers and she says, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, and you haven't been full of the Holy Ghost a day since. And that's how she started her message. And I tell you what, it scared me. And I wasn't even sitting on the platform. But you know, it's true. You can't just receive the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. Yes, that's access to the power of God. But you've got to learn to cooperate. It's a daily walk. You need to become dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You need to get to where you expect the Holy Spirit to guide you every moment. And when He tells you to invest in Kmart stock and your broker says, don't do it. We ought to listen to the Holy Spirit more than men.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM237 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to join us on the web. We have a website that I believe is second to none. There's a lot of really good things on there. There's hundreds of my teachings that are there for free downloads. You can get all of our television programs on this topic there. We have over 2,000 of my television programs that are there that you can view online. I have more than that, maybe 5,000 or 6,000 of my radio programs. We've got books. We've got a lot of things. It's just a tremendous resource. And I get comments from people constantly that say it's just changing their life just being on the website. Check it out today.